I'd like to read to you from John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles with you this morning and you'd like to read with me. This is no new account to you, but it's something that I'd like to dig into a little while this morning. The Lord be our helper. John chapter 6 is one account of the loaves and the fishes. All four of the gospel accounts include this occasion. But I'd like to consider this one this morning that's in John 6. I'll begin with the first verse. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So let's see the occasion here. In this this time, there's a great multitude that's been following Jesus. They've seen the evidence of his power because of the miracles that he's performed, and they've come to hear the words and to see what he's going to do. So as Jesus has compassion upon them, the time has grown late, they have nothing to eat, and so Jesus is going to teach them and his disciples a lesson about the great power of his providence for us on a daily basis. So he tells his disciples, he says, what are we going to give them to eat? Now it says here he knew what he was going to do before he asked, but he asked the question to teach them a lesson. So he says, what are we going to feed them with? So the disciples begin looking at what they've got. They begin looking at what they've got. So they say, it could take all kinds of money and we don't have that kind of money, but if we had a lot of money, we couldn't feed all these people. So then Jesus asked them, he says, well, what is it? What do you have? So they begin talking among themselves and they say, well, we've just got these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It says in verse 9 that Andrew saith unto the Lord, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? So the first mistake that the disciples make, which is the first mistake that we always make, is they look at what they've got to provide. You look at what you've got to provide, you'll see that you don't have enough to provide for what everybody needs. You see that when you look at what you've got, when I look at what I've got, if it's dependent on me for you to feed, if it's dependent on me for you to eat at God's house or on a daily basis, I don't have enough to feed you. So that's what they find. We don't have enough, Lord. What are we going to do with these 5 pieces of bread and these 2 fishes to feed this? And in one of the accounts it says there's 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So there's most likely, there's most likely at least 10,000 people there, if not more, that are there to eat and to hear the words of Jesus. So they've congregated for the purpose of hearing from Jesus. They've congregated for the purpose of being fed by Jesus from his words, from what he's going to do for them. Amen. So the disciples look at what they've got to feed these people and they see that they're severely lacking. They say, Lord, we don't have enough to feed all these people. So then the Lord says calmly, just tell them to sit down. So the Lord tells them, he says, tell them to sit down in companies of 50. So they're going to sit down by families. They're going to sit down by families at the feet of Jesus to be fed by Jesus. You see the picture here? This is like God's house. We sit down as families. We sit down in companies. We sit down as families at the feet of Jesus to be fed by Jesus. So they say, he tells them to sit down. Now they're out in the desert land. But one of the accounts says that there's much grass there. I believe it's this one. It says there's much grass there. So they sit down. And they sit down in the grass. And the Lord tells them to sit down in 50s. And they sit down in 50s. And then it says here that the Lord he said, make the men sit down. They sat down. And it says the number was 5,000. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So I want you to see the picture. These disciples, all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When the man of God comes to God's house All he has is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. When I come to God's house, I don't have much to feed you with. But what they did was what they gave what they had to Jesus. And when Jesus took what they had, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it back to them. Amen. So we give what we have to Jesus, trusting and depending on the Lord to provide. And when we give what we have to Jesus, and he breaks it, and he blesses it, and he gives it back to us to distribute it. Now notice what happens. They begin giving it to these thousands and thousands of people, and they see miraculously that they're feeding all of them.
Amen.
That they're feeding all of them. And who knows where it came from? The disciples. The man of God, you and me, when we come to God's house, when Jesus blesses, when Jesus breaks it, we're the ones that know where it came from. Because we understand that what we have to feed you with is nothing. We understand that what we have to feed you with is just a little bit. But when Jesus blesses it and breaks it, it becomes a great meal, a feast to God's people. And that feast is because Jesus is the blessing. Jesus is the provider. Jesus is the giver of the food in God's house when we gather as families.
Amen.
So then they begin to eat. And it says that they, it says when they were filled. So these thousands of people, Jesus took these 5 loaves and these 2 fishes and he fed them to where they were full. They were not lacking, they were not needing, they were not wanting, they were full. When we come to God's house, if we come with a purpose of seeing Jesus, if we come with a purpose of feeding from the words of Jesus, he's going to fill us up. He's not going to leave us lacking, he's not going to leave us wanting, he's not going to leave us needing, but he's going to fill us up. What did he tell us in Matthew 5? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? For they shall be filled. If you come to God's house hungry, I promise you, if you come to God's house hungry, looking for the great provider, he's going to fill you up.
Amen.
So after they were full, then the Lord tells them, he says, gather up what's left. Now, isn't that amazing? They have 5 loaves and 2 fishes and most likely over 10,000 people. And he says, gather up what's left. They've got leftovers. So he says, go and gather what's left. So I can imagine in my mind, they're thinking, there can't be anything left. But they take these baskets and they start gathering up what's left. And they gather 12 baskets. Now, that's a lot more than they started with. That's a lot more than they started with. So not only did he take what little they had, blessed it and break it, and fed the multitude to where they were full, but he gave them more than they started with, what was left over. Now, why did they have leftovers? Because he told them, he said, we're not going to waste any of it.
That's right.
He said, gather it up. We're not going to waste it. Why do you have leftovers? When you come to God's house, when you come to hear the gospel, when you come to hear about the wondrous works of Jesus, when you come to hear about grace, when you come to hear about what you need to be doing in the service of Jesus Christ as you live in this sin-cursed world, why do you have leftovers? Because you live in this world 6 days out of the week and you need the leftovers to feed you while you're living in this world. Because God gives you enough to eat while you're here and that's only going to last you for a day. But God's given you leftovers to carry you through the week that you can feed on, that you can eat on, that you can chew on so you can have what you need as you live in this sin-cursed world. Because those folks, they had a ways to walk.
That's right.
After he fed them. They weren't done. They didn't sit there and stay there, but they moved on. They still had stuff to do. So they had leftovers to take with them so that they could eat again after that they had been filled up. Because we should be hungry people every single day. And that's why he gives us leftovers. Oh, I love leftovers. You know, I love eating leftovers. A lot of times to me, leftovers can be even better than the original meal was. But I love leftovers. These folks had leftovers. They weren't too good to eat leftovers. The Lord wasn't too good to eat leftovers. Because when the Lord provides, it's outstanding food.
All right,
so we look at this. And we see the principle of our great providing God. Now this principle is not only a daily provision, but it's also the spiritual provision in God's house with the way that Jesus feeds us through the preaching of the gospel. But there's two other things that I want to look at as far as the Lord being a great provider. Now, you can go over and read it, but for time's sake, I'm just going to go through it. Genesis 22. So you can go over and turn over to Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, we find the account of when the Lord tells Abraham to take his only son Isaac and take him to Mount Moriah and offer him, sacrifice him on the altar at Mount Moriah to him. So Abraham rises up early in the morning and he heads to Mount Moriah. And there in Genesis 22, when they get to the base of Mount Moriah, they stop the beast that they're with, the men that they're with, they stop, and Abraham tells the lads that are with him, he said, "You stay here, and I and the lad will go and worship, and we will return again." So they tell them, "You stay, we're coming back." Abraham fully expected, Abraham fully trusted that God was going to deliver his only son because he was the promised son, because he was the promised son, and God had told him, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So Abraham fully trusted that if God allowed him to take Isaac's life, that God would raise him from the dead because he was the promised son. So he said, "We're coming back. We're coming back." So they go up on Mount Moriah, and Isaac, being observant like he is, he says, "Father, here's the wood, here's the altar, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And so Abraham makes the statement of all statements. Abraham says, "My son, God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Now, I want you to see the beauty of that statement. Abraham says, "God shall provide." Now, that's the main statement for us all. God shall provide. But he has two parts in it. He said, "God shall provide himself." He's not providing man. He's not providing you. He's not providing me. He's providing himself. God did himself what man could not do for himself. God provided him. God the man. God the man. God the word. He provided God the word as the offering. He says, "God shall provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So he says, not only is God going to provide a lamb, but that lamb is going to be himself. As John said in John 1, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." God provided the Lamb, the I Am. God provided Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as our offering, as our sacrifice, as Abraham took Isaac up on the Mount Moriah and laid him on the altar and raised his hand to take his life, and the angel of God stayed his hand and told him, "Take not the boy's life." He said, "For now I know that thou art faithful. Now I know that you'll do my command." And he told him, he saw the lamb in the thicket, and he took that lamb, or that ram, and he placed him on the altar, and he sacrificed him as a picture of what Jesus did for you on the cross when he died in your place, when he died what you deserved. He took what you deserved. He suffered for you. He gave his life for you. He was your lamb on the tree when God took his life, and God blessed your soul by saving you from your sins. Ah, God shall provide. Amen. And he did. Amen. So God provided the lamb. We see another picture of that in Exodus chapter 12 with the Passover. When God told Israel, he said, "You're coming out of Egypt." He said each house is going to have a lamb. And he said, "If the house is too poor, too small, you're going to share the lamb between two houses." Now you see the picture again. They sat down by families. The families are going to eat the lamb. He said, "You're going to be dressed, fully dressed, staff in your hand, feet shod, ready to go." He said, "You're going to take that lamb on the 14th day of the month, and you're going to kill that lamb." And he said, "When you kill that lamb," he said, "you're going to take the blood from that lamb and put it on the doorpost and mark the house with the blood of the lamb. And you're going to consume that lamb. You're going to eat it all. And what's left of it, you're not going to let it stay till the morning. You're going to burn it up with fire so that there's nothing left of it in the morning. morning. And he said, overnight, I'm going to pass over Egypt. And if I see the blood on the house, he said, I'll pass over and I'll not take the life of the firstborn. Well, I'm telling you this morning, little children, all my friends, in the day when the Lord returns in the resurrection, God Almighty's going to look on your house. He's going to look. He's going to see your soul. And he's going to see that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're going to be marked by that Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. He is your Passover Lamb. As Paul made that statement, Christ, who is our Passover. Well, the day is coming when God Almighty is going to divide the sheep from the goats. And when he divides the sheep from the goats, he's going to look for the blood. And if the blood of the Lamb, if the blood of Jesus Christ is on your doorpost, is on your house, God's going to pass over in his wrath. And you will not see the wrath of God. Why? Because he took the life of the firstborn. He took the life of the Son of God. He took the life of that great Passover Lamb so that you and I will never see God's wrath, because God did provide.
Amen.
So God provided the Lamb, the Passover Lamb. God provided for your eternal life. God provided for the salvation, your salvation from your sins. God provided for you what you could not provide for yourself. We see the same picture here in John chapter 6. Jesus provided for the multitude what they could not provide for themselves. That's what God does. God provides for you what you cannot provide for yourself. God is the great provider. God is the perfect provider. The last picture of God's providence that I'd like for you to see this morning. So we got Genesis 22. We got Exodus 12. Now let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, there's a man in the country of the Gadarenes who was living in the tombs. Nobody wanted him. Nobody loved him. Nobody cared about him. He was living in the cemetery. He was living in the sepulchers. He was living alone. He was naked. They had bound him with chains. They had tried to bind him up because he was out of his mind. Nobody could do anything with him. They couldn't control him. He was a wild man. You know, you look at that man and you say, wow, I'm glad I'm not like that man. But you know, the problem is that you were like that man at one point. You were like that man because by your nature, you were a wild man. By your nature, you were living in the tombs. By your nature, nobody wanted you. By your nature, you were undesirable. You were hated. Everybody wanted to stay away from you. You were forsaken. You were abandoned. By your nature, that was your condition. But Jesus found that man. Jesus came to where that man was. That man didn't go looking for Jesus. That man didn't ask Jesus to come help him. Jesus came to where he was. And when Jesus came to where he was, those demons that were in that man, they told him, they said, Lord, leave us alone. Why have you come to torment us before the time? Leave us alone. And he asked them what their name was. And they said, our name is Legion. And they asked him, they said, don't cast us, if you're going to cast us out, cast us into these swine. And so Jesus tells them to leave the man, and the demons leave the man and go into the swine. You know the rest of the account, the swine will go off into the sea. And where do we find the man? Jesus came to that man when nobody wanted him. Jesus came to that man when he couldn't help himself. Jesus came to that man when he didn't want any help. And Jesus came to that man, spoke to that man, changed that man. And we find that man going from being forsaken, abandoned, being lost, being not wanted, to being clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, feeding on the very words of the man that delivered him from his condition. That's where you and I are today. We are clothed. We are in our right minds. We are sitting at the feet of Jesus, thanking him for the fact that he delivered us from our condition, that he saved us from our sins, that he took us from where we were abandoned, where we were forsaken, where we were not wanted. He took us and he washed us and he cleaned us and he clothed us and he set us in a right mind and he set us at his feet to where we could feed from the very words that drip from his lips and taste of his goodness and taste of his mercy and taste of his kindness today of what Jesus has done for us. That man, he didn't want to leave Jesus. He didn't want to leave his feet. He didn't want to leave his voice. He didn't want to be away from him. Jesus told him, he said, you go home.
Yeah.
He said, you go home. and you tell them how great God has been to you. I ask you this morning, have you been home? Have you been home to tell your friends and your family how great God has been to you? This is your home, but I'm also talking about your home out there. Have you told your family? Have you told your friends how great God has been to you? Have you told them how God has provided for you? Have you told them how God took you when you were vain and wild and He made you as a little child? How He gave you your right mind? How He clothed you? How He blessed you? How good Jesus has been to you.
Amen.
Because you're like the wild man. You know, you're like the wild man. You're like Isaac. And you're like the Israelites. Jesus is your Passover. Jesus is your deliverance from living in the tombs, living as a dead man, to where you're living clothed in your right mind. And you understand how you got here. Don't you know that the wild Gadarene, that man knew how he got here? You know, he knew how he was delivered. He didn't go around saying, look what I did for myself.
Right.
He didn't go around, look, hey, I delivered myself from this situation. No, he went home and he told them, let me tell you about the man that did this for me. Let me tell you about the man who came and cast out the demons. Let me tell you about the man who took and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. That's what we should be doing.
Amen.
That's what we should be recognizing and acknowledging, is that we have a great provider that fills us up, never leaves us lacking, and never leaves us wanting. Now, He doesn't give us what our flesh wants, but He gives us what we need spiritually. But you and I need to remember, as we have a great provider, God, we need to recognize how God has provided so much for us to be here today, and how when we've come hungry, that God has provided a great meal to hear about His mercy, His grace, His favor, His kindness, His power, but also of His expectations. Jesus told the man, you go home. Jesus tells us, you go home. If you haven't come home here first, if you haven't come home here and become a member of Flint River Church, there's your first answer to Jesus' command. Come home and tell them how great God has been to you. But if you've done that, you go home and you tell them how good God has been to you.
How sweet the name of Jesus.